One of the first four words of Luke 11, verse 1. Now Jesus was praying. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation." Did you notice before just hearing that text in Luke 11 how curt the Lord's Prayer is in Luke 11 versus Matthew 6? Those parallel passages are well known to you. The Lord's Prayer is very well known to you. You might even recite it regularly as part of your own devotional life. But I cite this passage tonight and perhaps this first of these prayer services to see that Jesus was praying. The prayer is a privilege. Many of you have probably heard sermons where the pattern of prayer, the purpose of prayer, the practice of prayer. You might hear some of that tonight, but the idea is that don't miss the import of those kind of alliterations because it does communicate it to us and it's meant to be memorable. Jesus was praying. The blessing and opportunity as sinners to come before a holy God to pray is an incredible privilege. It's a blessing and an honor that we have to speak to the holy God of the universe. To come before, as we heard this morning, in a sweet time of bookending messages on prayer from Ephesians 6:18 this morning, the privilege of prayer, like on a Memorial Day weekend, the freedom that we enjoy in this country. Sometimes it's something that we take for granted. Have it taken away, and you realize what a privilege it is. Have someone tell you, you don't ever get to talk to God again. It's like telling someone, you can't breathe anymore. You just got to stop breathing right now. It will become really important to you in a few minutes how desperately you need prayer, how desperately you need air. The fact that God listens, even hears our prayers, is a sign of his incredible, merciful, amazing grace. Prayer is relational. Just another idea I want to bring out tonight. Even familial, right? It can be, and it is often, a family endeavor. And that's what we are meant to enjoy as the bride of Christ here, the body of Christ here, the kingdom of God here, the people, the temple of God. It's personal and familial, and confession tonight in that section of confession will be unique in that way as we talk as a people, a body, about perhaps even the sins of the body or the ways that we fail God. And we ask him, oh Lord, hear our prayer. Romans 8:15, in talking about how relational this is, you might know that Romans 8:15 and Galatians 6:14 clearly teach us about the adoption that we enjoy as sons and daughters of the Most High God. The incredible blessing to be enemies of God, helpless enemies of God, who are made children and can come to their Father and say what? Abba, Father. What a blessing. Don't lose sight of the spirit of that when you pray, because it is such a privilege. It's essential too. Like the breath that I mentioned in having it taken away, the breath of a believer is prayer. How long can you live without air? Really, how long can you live without air? Probably no more than 4 minutes. I mean, the world class can hold their breath 4 minutes plus. How long can you go without water? What are we looking at? 4 days, maybe? And without food? According to our Savior, 40 days plus. But without air, it gets very real, very quick. And so prayer is essential, it's vital, it's central, even an essential place in the Christian life it must have, in our hearts, in our minds. We can know these things, but do they sink down deep and become part of who we are? And so maybe these evenings for prayer could become like 12 times a year, a sort of training session that gets us more momentum, maybe a sense of progress in our prayer life, we can see tonight as practice, a practice of prayer and praying corporately. Someone once said that one might pray and not be a Christian. Think of how many examples you've heard of foxhole prayers, right? Time of war, there are no atheists in time of war. Well, one might pray and not be a Christian, but one cannot be a Christian and not pray. Let that sink into you. Prayer nurtures our dependence upon God, therefore. It nurtures even our obedience. So let tonight be again this practice, a chance for us to practice in prayer one with another. We're meant to love each other and not judge each other and be together and unite in a way. And we're doing something different. Every Sunday morning in our AM services, we have times of intercession, supplication, and petition. Generally, every Sunday evening, we have times of intercession, supplication, and petition. But tonight, adoration, some confession, and some thanksgiving. We're removing that so we focus on something else and challenge ourselves a little bit, pushing the envelope in that way, just to get ourselves accustomed to doing what we heard so often in that 26-week series, laments. People weren't always lamenting about their own sins. They weren't always lamenting about their condition. Sometimes they were lamenting about the state of the people of God in their situation. How many times have you known when the people of God sinned in the Old Testament? The one who rose up to intercede and mediate for them was confessing for them. And that's what we'll hear from Ezra tonight. Perhaps Jesus' disciples felt this, they felt this importance of delight before duty, delighting in him before our duty to him as we're talking about obedience. Perhaps, again, Jesus' disciples felt this when they made their momentous request. And have you ever echoed it? Note again in Luke 11. Look at verse 1 again. Now Jesus was praying to a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Have you ever asked the Lord to teach you to pray? Have you ever asked the Lord to help you to pray better?" That's what praying and fasting teaches us. They're one of the disciplines. Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray even tonight. May we grow just a little bit more. We'll hear from our brother or our sister a sweet prayer, and we'll say, "Lord, help that to be my heart or mind in prayer." The scholars tell us in Luke 11 and Matthew 6 that Jesus must have been modeling for prayer for them regularly because they followed him day and night for 3 years. And rabbis were known to have prayers written and memorized by their disciples. That might be an example of what we're seeing in Luke 11 and Matthew 6. Having seen Jesus pray many times, they knew of his love for prayer, and they knew prayer was not just the reciting of words. In fact, he warned them against, as we heard this morning, vain repetitions. Jesus may also have been rejoicing when he was asked this by his disciples, but he seemed to control his feelings, though, and give a matter-of-fact response. Okay, when you pray, say. When you pray, say, and read the rest again, Father. Notice what that implies. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. A very short, crisp, succinct, concise prayer, but powerful in its ramifications. And it's possible that if we continue this, I might unpack just the Lord's Prayer in small sections over the months. And this pattern of prayer that Jesus has showed us both in Luke 11 and from his Sermon on the Mount can inform us that when we pray tonight, we can take comfort in the fact that God knows our hearts and hears even our unspoken petitions, because we cannot say all that we should say, all that we could say, or all that we would say tonight. So sit loose. Adoration, confession, and thanksgiving. Just three small sections. We can pack these in month after month for years to come. But for now, just these three, with some text to inform us. If you would turn to one text just to sweeten our hearts for prayer, you look forward to Romans 8. Turn ahead a few pages to Romans chapter 8, and I'll read the passage that I mentioned this morning. Just just in case some of you have been sweating extra in anticipation of breaking out in prayer. Be reminded in your nervousness or your worry in any way of this sweet promise from Romans 8, verses 26 and 27 about what God, the Holy Spirit, does in us and through us in prayer. It's so sweet to see all your eyes not looking at me, but at the text. I just mentioned the verses and you're there. So let's read. No, let Spirit helps us in our weakness. What an incredible promise to us in prayer. Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit, to repeat, intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So may God translate your prayers tonight, even your weak, frail, even failed prayers. May God translate those for us and bring them before a throne of grace so that we might find a fresh sense of mercy and grace to help us in our time of need as we give him praise and fail to confess something that we forget. No, the Spirit intercedes for us and Jesus still at the right hand of the Father, translating even my sermon, as it were, interceding even now for this failed short sermon. But when we don't know how to pray or what to pray for in a given situation, know that the Holy Spirit does. And the Holy Spirit assists us in prayer. This is the promise of Romans 8, 26 and 7. There's a reason to believe from this text that if we pray incorrectly, the Holy Spirit corrects the errors in our prayers before he takes them before the Father. How do we know? Because verse 27 tells us that he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Praise God that he purifies even our prayers. This revelation of who God is for us in Christ gives us comfort. So take comfort from the Comforter who on your behalf tonight, the one whom the Father sent, John 14, 27, the Spirit. And in John 15, 27, it says the Son sent the Spirit. And in John 16, it says, he's your guide and your counselor and your comforter. May God, the Holy Spirit, the one directs us in prayer together as the people of God. May that just strengthen you. So you walk out of here going, I want to pray more tonight, even better tonight, and tomorrow morning, and tomorrow after. Make sense? This revelation of God for us in Christ comforts our hearts by the Spirit whom he has sent as a warm invitation for even us in prayer tonight. And so we can cast our cares on him because he cares for us. We can lift our praises to him because he cares for us. We can give him thanks because he cares for us. Always mindful of the fact that it's being translated, as it were, through our great high priest, as it says in Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. The one who foreshadowed all the prophets and priests and kings and intercedes for us even now at the right hand of the Father. Christ, our mediator. For we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need, Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. The God-honoring response to these revelations from Luke 11 and Romans 8 and Hebrews 4 is to pray. And to worship and to rejoice in our hearts and to bring our voices together with those in the heavenly council who rejoice in praise to God and thanksgiving for all he has done and his sweet, warm invitation to us to pray even tonight. So when you pray, be at peace. This is a means of grace. And sometimes it takes practice to grow in grace. So see tonight as practice, training your skills for your private prayers so that next time you might pray better. God will translate, as it were, your weakness in prayer to strength by his Spirit. So let's pray away. Let me pray for us now. God, as I take these small times to pray, even in this service, you will sweeten our hearts for prayer in a sweet hour of prayer. You will train our hearts and orient them as you do by conforming us and transforming us by the hearing of your word, that which we are more accustomed to. But we ask by your sweet spirit that you would comfort our hearts in our weakness and our fear. Just help us to praise you as your people. Help us to confess, not only for our failures, but for those in the kingdom around us. As concentric circles move out to the ends of the earth, maybe we haven't carried your great commission as we should, and so we ask your forgiveness, O God. Many other ways that we have failed you, but we bless you, O Lord, for the opportunity to come and to praise you and to give you thanks and to know that our sins are forgiven in and through Jesus Christ, all our iniquities and transgression cast as far as the east is from the west. And you invite us afresh to come with confidence to draw near to a throne of grace. For all this, we give you praise and thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.